Welcome back, America. Tim Wingate here, sitting in for Michael Herzog. Thanks for sticking with us through the top of the hour. I have Malcolm. And Malcolm, are you from South Carolina?
No, I'm not. No. I'm from Chicago.
You are from Chicago. Okay, I couldn't remember. We get so many different people on, I couldn't remember exactly where you were from. Chicago, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And my stomping grounds.
Yeah. To clarify that, I just think King, during this voting thing, maybe he would probably have a gather of people to just stand in front of the precinct where they're doing the counting until they have, if it's fraud, he would probably stand there until they have a recount and refuse to disperse or leave until they have a recount.
Yeah.
I think, that sounds like something he would do.
Or better yet, I saw something that went out, and I posted it on a couple sites as well, and that is going to demand a paper ballot.
Right, right. I mean,
he would have them do something that was proactive as well and reactive, proactive, reactive, but it wouldn't hinder anybody else from exercising their rights, but it would certainly make a public display of things that were wrong. I mean, you look at the marches that occurred in the 60s, and what was that guy's name was it Atlanta Bull? What was his name? Bull Tanner? Something like that. He was that police chief,
yeah.
Set the dogs on the folks and had the hoses.
I know. I don't know.
Okay, I don't remember. I don't remember either. But the fact of the matter is, people were just marching in a classic American tradition of showing that we're people, we have rights. Constitution, your laws say we have these rights, and this is the same fight that we have today. And people don't realize it. If and I kind of wanted to tie this in and get your off of this, Malcolm, as well. People ostensibly in this country consider themselves Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And Martin Luther King Jr. was a Baptist minister.
Exactly.
And we have another Baptist minister running for office who I'll get to in a moment here. And one of the things that Jesus supposedly said in the New Testament is that what you do to one of the least of these, you do unto me. And that's a principle that applies all across the board in our society. If you treat somebody, the poor, the down and out, somebody who is maybe the stranger or the sojourner, as the Bible says, in your land, if you treat them badly, Jesus said you're treating me badly. And the specific instance was, he was talking about people who were in jail and people who were poor and people who were hungry and people who were naked, people who were thirsty. And he said, when you bring a glass of water to them, you've done it to me. You've helped me. When you've done it to the least, you've done it to me.
Yeah, he said a rich man is not what he ought to be unless the poor man is what he ought to be, because we're all connected, you see.
Yeah, society works. Now, we're not talking of a form of wealth redistribution, folks. We're talking about some of the basic necessities of society. Well, the reason I wanted to kind of bring this up and get your input on this, Malcolm, is that we've got Huckabee. And some people I know call him Hucksterby.
Yeah.
Reverend
yeah.
Hucksterby.
Uh-huh.
And I'm really, really concerned here because, he's literally come right out and said he wants to install or at least bring the Constitution in line with at least his theology,
well,
his version of Christianity.
I'll give you what I think about Huckabee when you come back.
Yeah, I really would appreciate that. All right, folks, we're going to talk a little bit about religion and politics, civil disobedience, Martin Luther King Jr., with my friend Malcolm from Chicago. And so we'll be back in 3 minutes. Stick with us here on The American Awakening.
Uh-huh. The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up to 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's Energy-Swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
All right, everybody. We're back. Tim Wingate here, sitting in for Michael Herzog and the American Awakening. Malcolm?
Yes.
You were going to tell us what you thought about presidential candidate Reverend Mike Huckabee.
Well, the fact that Reverend Huckabee is running for office is alarming because you don't mix church with state. And I'll explain it. First of all, church is supposed to represent the spiritual laws of the Creator. And the spiritual laws of the Creator is ran differently than the laws of man. But the laws of man is what's running, is what we're into right now with this government, which is based on material things, physical things, capitalizing off of people's misery and producing people's misery to capitalize off of that. Well, anyone who understands the Creator and is in the spirit of the Creator, which is what you are talking about, what Michael is talking about, and the same thing with Martin Luther King was talking about. There's no way you could run for government knowing what you know about how the Creator wants things, that you would run for government and you would basically want to go by the same policy that you know is corrupt. It's against, you know, it's against the Creator. It's against the way the Creator has things on this earth.
Well, no, not only that, Malcolm, but different people have different interpretations of what the Creator's way is. I mean, Isn't that part of the problem?
Yeah, and that was created. That, yeah, that the reason why people are so confused and divided is because it was created by this fraud system of man to divide people, to disconnect them away from the Creator. You know,
I've often said that theology and theory have the same first four letters in common. It is theology is wonderful, but it is theory. It is not something by its very nature, something that is faith-based by its very nature cannot be absolutely proven, empirically proven. Mm-hmm. And that is entirely different from when you are dealing with something where the state says, now the state can echo, the state can amplify, we'll say religious principles or theological principles. But the mm-hmm. state certainly cannot arbitrarily just come in. I mean, they have done it in the past. I mean, look at all the wars we've had.
Yeah. Yeah.
All these wars and all these disagreements we've had. You look at the history of Europe, and even the reason that this country supposedly came into existence was so that people would have freedom of religion. Why? Because religion was being utilized by the state as a form of repression, and specifically Catholic versus Protestant and Protestant versus Catholic in the English wars, the English Civil War, where you had Catholics versus Protestants, and you read the history of England, and you see it constantly. You'd have one monarch, you know, coming after another. One would switch sides and back and forth. You had in Germany and Europe, you had all these wars between Protestants and Catholics. And what people forget is that not only were they Protestants and Catholics warring with each other, they were also warring against smaller little breakoffs and divisions of groups even within their own. You had Protestants who were actually persecuting Protestants because they weren't their kind of Protestant.
Exactly. And yes, I know religion is created to enslave people as well. And if you notice earlier, I said mixed church with state, not religion with state.
Right. Right. I understand. Your definition of church is man's interpretation.
Right.
Right. Well, I would also say that religion kind of falls into that because religion in general covers all forms of faith-based belief systems. And mm-hmm. what we have today is a big problem in that in many ways our politics has started to emulate faith-based reasoning. And that in itself is an oxymoron as far as I'm concerned, especially when we deal with Mike Huckabee and some of the issues that he wants to bring in, constitutional amendments to bring the Constitution in line with his fundamentalist authoritarianism. I remember reading about how many of the ministers in the South used the Bible, the Old Testament, to support slavery.
Some passages in
the New Testament to support slavery.
Well, what God do you think Huckabee is serving? I mean, what creator, you know what I mean? What God is he serving?
Well, you know, that's a subject for another show, which will probably do on Seize Liberty on a Saturday from noon to 2. I haven't decided exactly when to do it, but I think we do need to do a show dealing with the issue of religious authoritarianism.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, I wrote an article, and I write with a pen name, and I'll let people figure it out, see how bright they are, see if they can figure it out. But I wrote an article basically called If I Were a Islamic Fundamentalist Extremist. And I did it in the same vein as Jonathan Swift's satire. And I read it, on one of the programs a few weeks ago. I actually read through it, where you point out, you realize it's some of these folks with the fundamentalist religious authoritarian view that throughout history, they're the ones who seem to cause the problems for the rest of us.
Right. Yeah, right. That's why I was saying, you know, what God does this man serve.
Well, I don't know. I know he believes in whatever he believes in God to be. You know, his particular Christian fundamentalist Baptist viewpoint of God, which most likely is Trinitarian, and deals with Jesus being God incarnate in the flesh. You know, the Apostles' Creed. You know, or even the Nicene Creed. He probably would agree with all that, except for the use of the word Catholic, even though it's little c meaning universal and not capital C meaning Roman Catholic. But nonetheless, I digress.
Yeah, well, when
anyway,
we start getting into all that religion, man, that's a complicated issue.
It can be.
It really can be
if you want to get bogged down in the specifics of theology.
Yeah.
And there's a way to cut through that. And not get into that, the specifics of theology. It's kind of like this. My brother and I used to read comic books a lot. In fact, we still do. I like to collect comic books. I've become very specific and esoteric, if you will, about what I collect. But we both started off as kids, you know, reading the Superman comics. And my brother and I both brought up in a fundamentalist, evangelical, Pentecostal denomination. We've got to the point, and my brother specifically got to the point where when somebody wanted to come and witness to him and discern his walk with the Lord and tell him about their Jesus, he says, well, that's great. I'll listen to you if you'll listen to me. And usually they go, oh, okay. And then when they're done, he wants to tell them about Superman.
Okay. Well, that sounds fair to me.
You know, and he's got this great rap about how, you know, Superman, you know, came to the earth, you know, and he's powerful and he was adopted. You know, I mean,
it's similar to the story of Jesus.
You can make it like that, you know.
Yeah, I think that's maybe where your brother was driving that.
Oh, yeah. No, he definitely is. He's better at it than I am with that particular rap. But nonetheless, that's part of the problem is you can't even get people to agree on which holy books are holy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the whole thing starts. I was classically trained at one point in debate, or in what is actually called argumentation, the art of argumentation. And there are specific rules. And one of the rules, and it follows the rules of logic, and ostensibly this is what our legal system is supposed to follow as well, and that is you start off with a premise, and this premise is on which you build your argument or your syllogism, and you come to a logical or a true conclusion. You come to an end where truth has prevailed. You start off with something that a premise, a foundation that is absolutely irrefutable. You build your evidence upon that, your argument, and therefore you then come to your conclusion, which ideally should be true and sound. And when you come to that, you know what really is going on. And that's what our legal system is supposed to be.
Right, yeah.
But we have created so many exceptions now to the rules that by the time we get from the beginning point all the way to the end point, we're not sure where we've been.
Right, and that's basically because it's corrupt for the greed of money. I remember I sent Michael an email of the 13th Amendment, and then that 13th Amendment, I don't have it in front of me, but it talks about how Congress has the power to exercise or, say, instill slavery through the prison system.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you know,
very good point. In fact,
I'm glad
you brought that up because that's a little bit of what Henry David Thoreau brought up. Listen, Malcolm, thanks for taking the time.
Okay.
With us today, I'm going to spend the rest of the program here trying to deal a little bit with Henry David Thoreau and his point of why it's right for us as just men, as good men, to resist bad government.
And that's what King would be doing. He would sit there and resist bad government until he get what's right for liberty.
There we go. Thanks for calling in, Malcolm. Appreciate it, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be back here in 3 minutes, and I promise you we will be getting into civil disobedience here on RBN on the American Awakening.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Backing down, and neither did Henry David Thoreau. And as I said earlier, the reason we're going to talk about this is because Henry David Thoreau's treatise on civil disobedience, resisting civil government, has been a mainstay for many a resistance movement. Thoreau was an introspective man. He was a philosopher. He never really made any money on his writing. All he did, he did many different kinds of work to support himself. He just lived his life, but he wrote down his thoughts, and his thoughts did get published. It's basically an analysis of an individual's relationship to the state. And it deals with why you and I obey government law even when we think it's unjust. Why do we do that? Well, most of us know, well, we'll get in trouble if we don't. He touches on that. He gets into that. It's very personal for him because he was imprisoned for not paying a tax. And he basically broke the law. And he the reason was is that he detested slavery. He was an abolitionist. Knew it was wrong. We're talking 1849 or so, 1846, 1848, through 1846 through 1848 was what became known as the Mexican-American War. And he did not want to pay any taxes that would support slavery. He decided to become a tax rebel. Now, at that time, there were no income taxes. He didn't have enough land to pay property taxes. The only thing there was the poll tax. It was a capital tax levied equally on all adults within a community. So he decided to not pay the tax. And in 1846, in July of 1846, he was arrested and jailed. He was supposed to remain in jail until his fine was paid, but relatives got money together and basically bailed him out after one night in jail. And he was disgruntled about that. He wasn't happy about that. He wanted to stay in jail. But it had effects on him because he communicated with other prisoners and other people that were in jail. And it got him to think about the whole process by which we stand up against unjust government and decide what to do, whether or not to do something that is illegal, simply because the government is wrong and we know that we are right. It is a landmark of literature. It has been preserved. It's been admired. It's been there's so many occasions in which around the world it's actually being used. Its premises, its thoughts, its ideas are still being available. You know, it's usually referenced. We usually talk about Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi, using that in India's struggle for independence from the British Empire. We think about it as we are today about Martin Luther King, who said he was extremely, in fact, Martin Luther King said, "I became convinced that non-cooperation with evil is as much a moral obligation as is cooperation with good. No other person has been more eloquent and passionate in getting this idea across than Henry David Thoreau. As a result of his writings and personal witness, we are heirs of a legacy of creative protest." That was Martin Luther King Jr. It was used not only by these gentlemen, but in the 40s, it was read by the Danish underground, the resistance against the Nazis, the fascists that had come in and taken over Denmark. In the 1950s, it was cherished by people who hated McCarthyism. And as I mentioned to Michael, Joe McCarthy even had it removed out of libraries across the nation, part of a government textbook that had been put into libraries, specifically because of this essay on civil disobedience. It was been used in the 1960s, obviously, also against South African apartheid. And in the 70s, a whole new generation of anti-war protesters have learned it. And now here we are in the 21st century, and we're still going back and looking at what Henry David Thoreau had to say. So I'm going to start off with this for a little bit here, and then we'll go have a break, and we'll get into it a little bit more in depth. But he said this at the very beginning: "I heartily accept the motto that government is best which governs least, and I should like to see it acted up to more rapidly and systematically, carried out its final amounts to this, which also I believe, that government is best which governs not at all. And when men are prepared for it, that will be the kind of government which they will have. Government is at best but an expedient, but most governments are usually, and all governments are sometimes, inexpedient. The objections which have been brought against a standing army, and they are many and weighty, and deserve to prevail, may also at last be brought against a standing government. The standing army is only an arm of the standing government." Pretty heavy duty, huh? We see what's going on across this nation and with our nation and other nations. It's apropos to us today. We'll be back in 3 minutes, and we're going to talk some more about civil disobedience and Henry David Thoreau. Stick with me here on the American Awakening on RBN.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up to 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's energy-swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Okay, welcome back, America. Tim Wingate sitting in here for Michael Herzog, who will be back on Wednesday. Tomorrow, just to let you know, we are going to be talking with Aaron James, a gentleman from Canada, who will update us on his situation with the corrupt courts here in U.S., as well as the harassment he's been undergoing in Winnipeg as well. So we'll get an update from Aaron, and we'll see. We got some other possible surprises for you tomorrow, so make sure you tune in here. Let's go forward with this on Henry David Thoreau. Now, I want you to remember that at the time he was writing, he was dealing with the Mexican-American War, and as many people in this country who did not agree with what the United States government was doing with its concept of manifest destiny and basically putting in a Godfather style a gun to the head of the Mexican government and saying, "Sell us your land or else," an offer that they couldn't refuse. Many people were against this. So this was what was going on at that time. I will not use the term Mexican-American War. We'll just use the term war. And I think you're going to see how his words still resonate throughout the decades and centuries, actually, since this was 1846. So we're well into a second century of this. I left off with where he said that a standing army is only an arm of the standing government. The government itself, which is only the mode which the people have chosen to execute their will, is equally liable to be abused and perverted before the people can act through it. Witness the present war, the work of comparatively a few individuals using the standing government as their tool, for, in the outset, the people would not have consented to this measure. This American government, what is it but a tradition, though a recent one, endeavoring to transmit itself unimpaired to posterity, but each instant losing some of its integrity? It is not the vitality and force of a single living man, for a single man can bend it to his will. It is sort of a wooden gun to the people themselves, but it is not the less necessary for this, for people must have some complicated machinery or another, hear its din to satisfy the idea of a government which they have. Governments show thus how successfully men can be imposed upon, even impose on themselves for their own advantage. It's excellent. We must allow. Yet this government never of itself furthered any enterprise. It does not keep the country free. It does not settle the West. It does not educate. The character inherent in the American people has done all that has been accomplished, and it would have done somewhat more if the government had not sometimes got in its way. For government is an expedient by which men would try to succeed in letting one another alone, and as has been said, when it is most expedient, the governed are most let alone by it. Trade and commerce, as if they were not made of rubber, would never manage to bounce over the obstacles which legislators are continually putting in their way. And if one were to judge these men wholly by the effects of their actions and not partly by their intentions, they would deserve to be classed and punished with those mischievous persons who put obstructions on railroads. But to speak practically and as a citizen, unlike those who call themselves no government men, I ask for not at once no government, but at once a better government. Let every man make known what kind of government would command his respect and what will be one step toward obtaining it. After all, the practical reason why, when the power is once in the hands of the people, a majority are permitted and for a long period continue to rule, is not because they are most likely to be in the right, nor because this seems fairest to the minority, but because they are physically strongest. But a government in which the majority rule in all cases cannot be based on justice, even as far as men understand it. Can there not be a government in which majorities do not virtually decide right and wrong, but conscience? In which majorities decide only those questions to which the rule of expediency is applicable? Must citizens forever, for a moment, or in the least degree, resign his conscience to the legislator? Why, has every man a conscience then? I think we should be men first and subjects afterward. It is not desirable to cultivate a respect for the law so much as for the right. The only obligation which I have to assume is to do at any time what I think is right. It's truly enough that a corporation has no conscience, but a corporation of conscientious men is a corporation with a conscience. Law never made men a whit more just, and by means of their respect for it, even the well-disposed are daily made agents of injustice. A common and natural result of an undue respect for law is that you may see a file of soldiers, colonel, captain, corporal, privates, and all marching in admirable order over hill and dale to the wars against their wills, yes, against their common sense and consciousness, and consciences, which make it very steep a march indeed, and produces a palpitation of the heart. They have no doubt that it is a damnable business in which they're concerned. They're all peaceably inclined. Now, what are they? Men at all? Or small movable forts and magazines at the service of some unscrupulous man in power? Visit the Navy Yard and behold a Marine. Such a man as an American government can make, or such as it can make a man with its black arts, a mere shadow and reminiscence of humanity. A man laid out alive and standing, and already, as one may say, buried under arms with funeral accompaniments, though it may be. Not a drum was heard, not a funeral note, as his corpse to the rampart we hurried. Not a soldier discharged his farewell shot o'er the grave where our hero we buried. The mass of men served the state thus, not as men mainly, but as machines with their bodies. They are the standing army and the militia, jailers, constables, policemen, posse comitatus. In most cases, there is no free exercise whatever of the judgment or of the moral sense that they put themselves on a level with wood and earth and stones, and wooden men can perhaps be manufactured that will serve the purpose as well. Such command no more respect than men a straw or a lump of dirt. They have the same sort of worth only as horses and dogs, possessions, property. Yet such as these are commonly esteemed as good citizens. Others, as most legislators, politicians, lawyers, ministers, and office holders, serve the state chiefly with their heads. And as they rarely make any moral distinctions, they are as likely to serve the devil without intending it as God. A very few, as heroes, patriots, martyrs, reformers in the great sense, and men serve the state with their consciences also, and so necessarily resist it for the most part, and they are commonly treated as enemies by it. So how does a man become a man to behave toward this American government today? I answer that he cannot without disgrace be associated with it. I cannot for an instant recognize that political organizations as my government, which is a slave's government also. All men recognize the right of revolution, that is, the right to refuse allegiance to and to resist the government. But when its tyranny or its inefficiency are great and endurable. But almost all say that such is not the case now. But such was the case, they think, in the Revolution of 1775. If one were to tell me that this was a bad government because it taxed certain foreign commodities brought to its ports, it is most probable that I should not make a big ado about it. For I can do without those things. All machines have their friction, and possibly this does enough good to counterbalance evil. At any rate, it is a great evil to make a stir about it. But when friction comes to have its machine and oppression and robbery are organized, I say, let us not have such a machine any longer. In other words, when a sixth of the population of a nation which is undertaken to be the refuge of liberty are slaves, and a whole country is unjustly overrun and conquered by a foreign army and subjected to military law, I think that it is not too soon for honest men to rebel and revolutionize. What makes this duty the more urgent is the fact that the country is so overrun is not our own, but ours is the invading army. All voting is a sort of gaming, like checkers or backgammon, with a slight moral tinge to it, a playing with right and wrong, with moral questions, and betting naturally accompanies it. The character of voters is not staked. I cast my vote, perchance, as I think right, but I'm not vitally concerned that right should prevail. I'm willing to leave it to the majority. its obligation, therefore, never exceeds that of expediency. Even voting for the right is doing nothing for it. It's only expressing to men feebly your desire that it should prevail. A wise man will not leave the right to the mercy of chance, nor wish it to prevail through the power of the majority. There is but little virtue in the action of masses of men. When the majority shall at length vote for the abolition of slavery, it'll be because they are indifferent to slavery, or because there is but little slavery left to be abolished by their vote. They will then be the only slaves. Only his vote can hasten the abolition of slavery, who asserts his own freedom by his vote. It's not a man's duty, as a matter of course, to devote himself to the eradication of any, even the most enormous wrong. He may still properly have other concerns to engage him, but it is his duty at least to wash his hands of it, and if he gives it no other thought, not to give it practically his support. If I devote myself to other pursuits and contemplations, I must foresee at least that I do not pursue them sitting upon another man's shoulders. I must get off of him first, that he may pursue his contemplations also. See what gross inconsistency is tolerated by government? I've heard some of my townsmen say, I should like to have them order me out to help put down the insurrection of the slaves, or march to Mexico, see if I would go. And yet these men have each directly, by their allegiance, and so indirectly, at least by their money, furnished a substitute. The soldier is applauded who refuses to serve in an unjust war by those who do not refuse to sustain the unjust government which makes the war, is applauded by those who own act and authority he disregards and sets at naught, as if the state were penitent to the degree that it hired one to scourge it while it sinned, but not to the degree that it left off sinning at all for the moment. Thus, under the name of order and civil government, we're all made to at last to pay homage to and support our own meanness. After the first blush of sin comes indifference, and from immoral it becomes, as it were, unmoral and not quite unnecessary to that life which we have made. How can a man be satisfied to entertain an opinion merely and enjoy it? Is there any enjoyment in it if his opinion is that he is aggrieved? If you're cheated out of a single dollar by your neighbor, you do not rest satisfied with knowing that you're cheated, or with saying that you're cheated, or even with petitioning him to pay you your due, but you take effectual steps at once to obtain the full amount and see that you're never cheated again. Action from principle, the perception and the performance of right, changes things and relations. It is essentially revolutionary and does not consist wholly with anything which was. It not only divides states and churches, it divides families. Yes, it divides the individual, separating the diabolical in him from the divine. Unjust laws exist. Shall we be content to obey them, or shall we endeavor to amend them and obey them until we have succeeded? Or shall we transgress them at once? Men generally, under such a government as this, think they ought to wait until they have persuaded the majority to alter them. They think that if they should resist, the remedy would be worse than the evil. But it is the fault of the government itself that the remedy is worse than the evil. It makes it worse. Why is it not more apt to anticipate and provide for reform? Why does it not cherish its wise minority? Why does it cry and resist before it is hurt? Why does it not encourage its citizens to be on the alert to point out its own faults and do better than it would have them? And why does it always crucify Christ and excommunicate Copernicus and Luther and pronounce Washington and Franklin rebels? One would think that a deliberate and practical denial of its authority was the only offense never contemplated by government. Else, why has it not assigned its definite, its suitable and proportionate penalty? If a man who has no property refuses but once to earn 9 shillings for the state, he is put in a prison for a period unlimited by any law that I know, and determined only by the discretion of those who placed him there. But if he should steal 90 times 9 shillings from the state, he is soon permitted to go at large again. If the injustice is part of the necessary friction of the machine of government, let it go. Let it go. Perchance it'll wear smooth, and certainly the machine will wear out. If the injustice has a spring or a pulley or a rope or a crank exclusively for itself, then perhaps you may consider whether the remedy will not be worse than the evil. But if it is of such a nature that it requires you to be the agent of injustice to another, then I say break the law. Let your life be a counter friction to stop the machine. What I have to do is to see at any rate that I do not lend myself to the wrong which I condemn. We'll be back in 3 minutes with the conclusion of Civil Disobedience by Henry David Thoreau here on The American Awakening.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing, with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time, and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now, you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code CLUBRADIO when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to SafeCastleRoyal.com. That's SafeCastleRoyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
Welcome back, America. Tim Wingate here, sitting in for Michael Herzog, who's traveling, and I'm reading some excerpts from Civil Disobedience by Henry David Thoreau. Picking up where he left off, where he was talking about letting your life be a counter friction to stop the machine. The machine of the states, or the state per se. And he says to, if you need to, disobey. As for adopting the ways which the state have provided for remedying the evil, I know not of such ways. They take too much time and a man's life will be gone. I have other affairs to attend to. I came into this world not chiefly to make this a good place to live in, but to live in it, be it good or bad. A man has not everything to do, but something, and because he cannot do everything, it's not necessary that he should do something wrong. It's not my business to be petitioning the governor or the legislator any more than it is theirs to petition me, and if they should not hear my petition, well, what should I do then? But in this case, the state has provided no way. Its very constitution is the evil. This may seem to be harsh and stubborn and unconciliatory, but it's to treat with the utmost kindness and consideration the only spirit that can appreciate or deserves it. So it is a change for the better, like birth and death, which convulse the body. You see, a minority is powerless while it conforms to the majority. It is not even a minority then. But it is irresistible when it clogs by its whole weight. If the alternative is to keep all just men in prison or give up war and slavery, the state will not hesitate which to choose. If 1,000 men were not to pay their tax bills this year, that would not be a violent and bloody measure, as it would be to pay them and enable the state to commit violence and shed innocent blood. This is, in fact, the definition of a peaceable revolution, if any such is possible. If the tax gatherer or any other public officer asks me, as one has done, why, what shall I do? Or, but what shall I do? My answer is, if you really wish to do anything, resign your office. When the subject has refused allegiance and the officer resigned his office, then the revolution is accomplished, at least in the heart of that man. But even suppose blood should flow, is there not a sort of bloodshed when the conscience is wounded? Through this wound, a man's real manhood and immortality flow out, and he bleeds to an everlasting death. And I see this blood flowing now. I have paid no poll tax for 6 years. I was put into jail once for this account, for one night, and I stood considering the walls of solid stone, 2 or 3 feet thick, the door of wood and iron, 1 foot thick, and the iron grating which strained the light. I could not help being stuck and struck with the foolishness of that institution which treated me as if I were mere flesh and blood and bones to be locked up. I wondered that it should have concluded at length that this was the best use it could put me to, and had never thought to avail itself of my services in some way. I saw that if there was a wall of stone between me and my townsmen, there was still a more difficult one to climb or break through before they could get to be as free as I was. I did not for a moment feel confined, and the wall seemed a great waste of stone and mortar. Thus, the state never intentionally confronts a man's sense, intellectual or moral, but only his body, his senses. And it is not armed with a superior wit or honesty, but only with superior strength. We need to have a spirit of resistance spring up again in America. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we've been talking about. Henry David Thoreau said it best. Check it out online. Just Google Civil Disobedience by Henry David Thoreau and read the whole essay. It'll inspire you. It'll cause you to realize, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. Tim Wingate here. I'll be back tomorrow sitting in for Mike. Stick with us here on RBN. With